you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, this is God's Word. Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we've said before, I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. For am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people who were the kind of people that most of us who are conservative Christians would really like to have as friends and congregants. These are the kind of people that we like. Because the whole reason they were in trouble was because they were very eager to do whatever they had to do in order to do the right thing. I mean, don't you like people like that? These were not rebellious people. These were not people who would say, well, what is it you want? Okay, well, I'll think about it. These were people who said, just tell me what you want me to do. Just give me instructions and I'm ready to go. I want to do the right thing. They had heard the gospel, they had believed the gospel, they had started following Christ, and then some false teachers came to them with legalism saying, if you really want to be a Christian, you got to do this too. And they were saying, oh, well, nobody told us. But if that's what we've got to do, we'll do it. The whole letter to the churches in Galatia is written to nice believers. Now, if you don't consider yourself a nice believer, then this may be a little hard for you to connect with. But if you're one of these people who just really, you know, you just want to do the right thing. I mean, I don't always know what the right thing to do is, but I would like to do the right thing. I am absolutely sure that when I get to heaven, I'm going to find out I was wrong about some stuff. Okay? Would you agree with me on that? I don't mean about me. I mean, would you agree about you? Okay? We know that we're fallible. God is infallible. He is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. The rest of us embarrass ourselves sometimes. We forget to set the clocks forward or whatever we do. But sometimes, you know, we mess up. And so there's an awareness that I don't know it all. These are not know-it-alls. These are people who are humble. They're teachable. But the problem is they're not discerning. They don't realize that what they're being told isn't just an addition to the gospel. By being an attempted addition to the gospel, it is a contradiction of the gospel. You can't have it both ways. The Galatians were lovely people. They were people who wanted to do the right thing, but they were not doing the right thing. Because guess what the right thing is? To trust Jesus. It doesn't get better than that. You can't add to that. You can't improve on that. So what happened here? Well, Paul has to write, and the first thing he seeks to establish with them is his authority as an apostle. Because some folks were trying to undercut the gospel, and in order to do so, they had to basically say that, Paul, you know, you can't go by what he said. First of all, do you know about his background? I don't know if you all are aware of this, but the apostle Paul was a persecutor of the church. You did know that, didn't you? Okay? But believe me, that's getting brought up in Galatia. And he wasn't one of the original apostles who followed Jesus around. He came late to the party, okay? He got saved later on. And so, you really can't go by what he says. I was interviewed one time by a pastor search committee, and they were talking about my views on certain matters and why in the world would I hold such positions. And so I took them to the scriptures. And one of them spoke up and said, totally seriously, he said, oh yes, but that's Paul. Well, you may have noticed when we were about to start reading this letter, I said what I always say when we're about to start reading one of the scriptures, and that is, this is God's word. Okay? See, this is not Paul. Paul was God's instrument, but God is the one who is giving us his word. And that's why Paul, in writing this, says, listen, even if I contradict the gospel, let me be accursed. I don't care who it is. I don't care what their credentials are. I don't care what their history is. If it doesn't agree with the word that God has spoken, it's not from God. How do you know whether or not those thoughts you're having are from God? What, you know, could it just be your weird neurosis kicking in that's causing you to do that? Could it be your own sinful flesh patterns? How do I know if it's from God? Well, I'll tell you one unalterable clue. God doesn't contradict himself. And so if you're feeling led to do something that God says in his word you're not supposed to do, that's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. There was a young couple who came to a Bible study that I attended. I was not one of the leaders when I was in college. And they found themselves in the embarrassing predicament of being with child when they weren't married. And they explained that they were in love and they had prayed about it and they felt that the Lord had shown them that it was all right for them to go ahead and begin having physical intimacy with each other. Well, I mean, who can question God? That couple, apparently. Because what they were asking God is it okay for us to do what you've said is not okay? All right? That's like me praying about whether or not to rob the bank. Okay? Lord, I don't want to do anything that's outside of your will, but you know, the ministry could always use the money. So I was just thinking, they've got a lot. Why don't we just hit them up one night? Would it be okay? You see, when you ask God a question like that, what you're saying is, I'm not satisfied with the answer you already gave me. Because God's word says, thou shalt not steal. Now, when God says you're not to steal, what that means is, you're not to steal. While I was in Illinois taking care of my cousin's affairs, he recently passed away, I had the misfortune of being in a fast food restaurant where a small child wanted a toy. The restaurant apparently was giving away toys to small children. And this child had decided he wanted his, and he didn't want to wait for it. He wanted his toy. And so he began saying, Mommy, toy, toy, mommy, mommy, toy, toy, mommy, mommy, toy, mommy, toy, toy, mommy, toy, toy, mommy, toy. This didn't go on for a minute. This went on for a meal. Okay? And I didn't say anything. I didn't glare at them. But I did notice that there were two people who were the size of adults sitting at the table, and neither of them responded. Apparently, they had been instructed that the best thing to do when your child is acting like that is ignore them, okay? Especially if they're doing it in public, okay? Just ignore them so that they will learn that this doesn't work. I wanted to go over and say, let me just suggest, as the father of seven children, let me just suggest that you let him know that you have heard his request and that the answer is not now. I mean, wouldn't that be helpful? Wouldn't that be a sane, mature thing to do? They didn't do that. They just ignored it. And let me tell you, this kid was like the importunate widow. He didn't stop the whole time, okay? He just kept it up and kept it up. And I think, how pathetic. And then I think about some of my prayers. It's one thing if God hasn't answered, okay? You know, I mean, it's not in his word. There are things that aren't in the Bible, okay? Let me give you an example of what's not in the Bible. Ford truck, Chevy truck, Dodge truck, or Toyota, or Nissan. Honda? Oh my, too many choices. Okay? It's not in there. Now, some people think it is. But that's not in the Bible. So if you're asking God for wisdom concerning a purchase, it's fine to keep asking and praying. Though I would suggest you ought to consider he may not be answering because it's not time to buy a truck. It's possible. Should I get this one or this one? I need to know, should I get this one or this one? And God says, are those my only two choices? Okay? Does it occur to you that maybe you ought to open the menu broader and say, do you want me to get a truck right now? Okay? That's just a little pastoral care there. But here's the thing. If you are asking God whether it's okay for you to do something he forbids, he's already told you no. Don't ask anymore. Just obey him. Just obey him. The fact you didn't like his answer does not mean that it's okay to keep asking. My precious little, I think she was 4-year-old, maybe 5-year-old niece, many years ago, she's now a doctor and a parent and so forth, but many years ago, she came to me and she said, I want to make a picture for you. I said, thank you. She said, you choose the color. She had a bunch of crayons. You choose the color. And I said, okay, how about this one? And she said, no, not that one. I said, okay, well, how about this one? She said, no, not that one. Well, after a few failed choices, I said, well, why don't you choose? She said, no, I want you to choose. Okay. And again, that's the way we are a lot of the time with God, isn't it? Oh, God, I just want your will. And God says this. We say, not that. Not that. I just want your will. Please show me what you want. No, not that. Well, the Galatians were lovely people who wanted to honor God and please God. Their problem was not rebellion. Their problem was not stubbornness. Their problem was that they were gullible when false teachers came along and tried to put them under a yoke of bondage. Okay? And so Paul is writing to them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and before he can lay out for them his whole arguments, what he's going to do later in this first chapter, right after where we stopped reading, what he's going to do is he's going to begin by saying in greater detail what he said at the beginning, and that is, my apostleship did not come from man. I am an apostle not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He says, that's how I'm an apostle.
Well, who put you in charge?
God. Okay? That's where he got his authority. Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers who are with me. He says, this letter isn't just from me. It is from me as an apostle of God. But there are other brothers here with me. And we're writing to you. Who's he writing to? To the churches of Galatia. This is not one city. This is a region. It's a large area. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, I've got a message from God. I'm his representative. He gave me this authority. He's the one who is now sending you a message of grace and peace. He chose to rescue you. Okay? He chose to rescue you. He gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. That is really good news. I mean, it's hard to have a bad day when you have that in focus. Amen? Because whatever else is going on, it is so temporary. I'm going to be with my Father in heaven forever. And he loves me.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his
I cannot count the number of people who've come to me over the years and wanted to know how they could be sure that they're saved. I'm not sure that when I prayed to receive Christ, I really understood enough. Okay? I'm not sure that I was sincere enough when I prayed that prayer. I'm not sure that I said what I needed to say or that I've done what I need to do or that my baptism is valid or that the group that told me about it was doctrinally sound enough that it still counts. Okay? You're not saved by the church you were saved in. You're not saved by the church you were baptized in. You're saved by Jesus. If you're trusting in Him and in Him alone for your salvation, you are saved. If you are trusting in anything else, you are lost. And that's what the book of Galatians is about, and that's what Paul is going to walk us through. He's trying to help us understand that our only hope is in Jesus Christ. And that having believed that and started out as followers of Christ, so grateful for what He's done, don't allow yourself to be put in a legalistic bondage that says, no, 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 no. If you want God to love you, you've got to do this and this and this and this and this. And you mustn't do this, 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 or this. You've got to do what we say, or God will not love you. Now, in this letter, Paul's going to make it very, very clear under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that if you are walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to do all the things that are clearly displeasing to God. But that is an expression of thanks to God for the salvation that He has worked in your life. It is not cleaning up your act in order to be saved. I had a young woman who felt she could not become a Christian because she had a habit of smoking marijuana, and she was quite addicted. I was a teenager, lived in a college town, and she was one of the college students there. And I was just out trying to find people to lead to Christ. So when I found out that was her issue, I met with her and I said, you need to understand the gospel. And I presented the gospel to her, and afterwards she said, okay, I need to talk with you outside. We went outside and she said, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but first, what do I do about this? And she reached into her blouse and she pulled out a little container filled with marijuana cigarettes. And I said, what you need to do is put that back. Because her feeling was, before I can get saved, I need to give this up. Problem is, after you get saved, you're going to find out there was other stuff. It wasn't just the pot, okay? God also was displeased with this and this and this because all of those things were bad for you and others as well, okay? So I said, just put it back. So she did. And I said, now let's pray. And she gave her life to Christ. I said, okay, now that God has saved you and you're His precious child, what do you think He wants you to do with that? And she said, I need to get rid of it. And I said, exactly. And so she immediately got rid of it. Now, not as something she was doing in order to make it so that she could be saved, but as an expression of gratitude to God for the fact that He had saved her and she wanted to follow Him. You get the difference? Timothy was the Apostle Paul's beloved son in the faith. And Paul had Timothy circumcised in order to make him a better missionary. Okay? But the Galatians, Paul says to them, I tell you the truth, if you accept circumcision, you're cut off from Christ. Well, it's okay for Timothy, but it's not okay for me. What's the deal, Paul? The deal is Timothy knows he's a Christian and he's trying to make himself a more effective missionary to people for whom that would be a distraction. You, on the other hand, are being made to think that you're not really Christians if you haven't been circumcised. And if you accept circumcision on those terms, you are disbelieving the gospel. You're saying it's not about what Jesus did on the cross, it's about what we do. Being a Christian is not about what we do. Being a Christian is about what He did. Okay? And in light of what He did, what we do needs to change. Amen?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.